Tell us a little bit about how are you trying to make people feel more comfortable and go run towards AI versus running away from it.
Because, as we all know, our people, they feel more comfortable when they see an individual that looks like them. Okay, so all we can do and what I do is keep trying. Keep showing up, do webinars, go do classes at the libraries, do workshops. I'm going to do a summer camp. That's all. Just keep showing up. Keep showing up because they're going to get it. They're going to be like, yeah.
But are they starting to? So when you show up and they come there, are they diving in? Are
they diving?
Standing?
Yes, they
are
do.
They looking back, saying, trying to figure it out first? And or so talk a little
bit
about
how we want to say that. Oh yeah, there's still some in the back in the cut. Mm-hmm. They still, you know, they still looking like. They already said they're going to take our job. Right. Do she really know what she's talking about?
Right. We'll discuss race and how it plays a factor and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A Black Executive Perspective.
We are coming to you live from Houston Tillerson University in the heart of downtown Austin, Texas for another thought-provoking episode of a Black Executive Perspective podcast. A safe space to discuss all matters regarding race, culture, and those uncomfortable topics people tend to avoid. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit.
And I'm your co-host, Chris P. Reed. And we're here at the HBCU AI Conference 2026. We're talking to leaders, movers, shakers, and innovative minds. And one of those individuals is Key Jones. Key Jones is the founder and CEO of Reset, yes, a trauma-informed organization focused on mental health advocacy and responsible innovation. She brings a human-centered lens to ethical AI, emphasizing accountability, well-being, and community impact. Ms. Key Jones,
hi.
Welcome to a Black Executive Perspective
Thank
podcast.
Thank you all for having me this morning.
Yes, what's up?
Oh, listen, we're looking forward to you, yes, being here, my sister.
Thank you.
So, hey, before we get into the heavy stuff, why don't you tell us a little bit about where you currently reside and a little bit about your family?
Sure. I'm from the lovely place. We call it the boot, but it's Louisiana.
The boot.
Yes.
That's right. It is a boot, right?
Yes, yeah, it actually is. So I'm from Louisiana. I am the mother to 3 grown adults. Okay. My daughter, she just turned 29 on Monday.
Okay.
My daughter's 29. Yeah. Thank you. My middle son, he's 24. Okay. And my baby boy, he's 22. And of course, I am a grandmother. I know I don't look it. She's 7 years old. She's a little spoiled brat, but I love her to death. My kids get on me because they say, "Oh, you just let her do whatever she want." And yes, I do.
Oh, you spoil her to death.
Oh,
huh?
I do.
Yeah.
I don't have the energy to fuss and chastise anymore. I do it, but I don't do it.
Right.
She could jump on the couch. She could do whatever, and I just look at her. I know that's not right because my kids knew better.
Right.
But hey, I could send her home.
Well, that's right. That's what a grandmother is for, right?
Right.
But I love her to death. Yeah, she's 7 years old.
Awesome.
And she's a little spoiled princess. Yes.
So tell us a little bit about Reset and what you guys do and why you started it or felt there was a need to bring this right now into the forefront.
Well, actually, Reset was birthed in 2022. Mm-hmm. And how it all started was based off of my life history. I know I don't look like what I've been through, but I came into this world through trauma. And I made it out. So especially when the pandemic started, I noticed like mental health was like at an all-time high. Okay. Like we started seeing things that we had never ever seen before in the mental health industry. And mind you, I've been in healthcare 25 years. Okay. I've been in technology, I say about 6,
okay,
and education 12.
Okay.
So I kind of been around, you know, I've been around the block. I've seen it all. And mental health just like plunged. And if you're not, I say, educated or trained in a lot of areas in the mental health, you won't be able to recognize it. And you're going to just use terms like, oh, he crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she crazy, but she's not.
Mm-hmm.
What I realize is that we have a lot on our plates today when it comes down to our personal lives, when it comes down to our careers. It's just so much. And I'm going to use black people. I'm going to use our culture just for an example. The way we were raised, You don't talk about stuff like that.
No.
What goes on in this house
stays in the house, correct.
And for years, therapy was looked down upon in our culture.
Right.
You know, so it almost was like the norm. Oh, it happened. Yeah. Be quiet and don't say anything about it. And over time, that takes a toll,
right,
on an individual. It takes a toll on families.
Right.
But again, like I said, if you're not familiar with it, you won't know the signs. And me, even for myself, for a long time, it was, oh, I wear my heart on my sleeve.
Mm.
But then, like I said, after I seen and noticed and I learned, because when you know better, you do better.
Right.
And when I learned and when I took psychology, oh, my God, because everybody was like, oh, that's a boring course. That's a boring course. No, it was not. I actually love psychology, and I learned a lot in my psychology course and also in my sociology course. So, like I said, during the pandemic, when I noticed how everybody's mental health plunged, I was like, I kept hearing the word reset in my heart and in my mind for years before 2022. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God, what you want me to do with that? What you want? Why you keep tugging at me? Mm-hmm. And then that's when I just made the plunge. I took a leap on faith because I didn't think anybody was going to take me serious. But then I took myself serious. I was like, girl, please, you've been through that. You may not be a psychologist, but you've been through it. So if you've been through it, you live through it, you can talk about it and you can help others overcome what you've been through. Mm-hmm. I started out with just women, but then I noticed, hey, my brothers need us too. You know, I can't just help women. I don't want to just discriminate. I can help everyone. So again, I started out with just my services were just catered toward women at first. And then last year, June of 2025, that's when I opened up my platform to men as well. And now I've always been involved with youth. They're my babies. I don't care how old they are. Even the ones in college, that's all still my babies. So now I also offer it to women, men, and youth. Again, I'm sorry, I skipped. And again, Reset is an organization that helps women, men, and youth overcome and defeat trauma.
Got it. Well, number one, thank you for sharing that. More importantly, thank you for starting something while you were going through some trauma,
absolutely.
Right? Which is,
absolutely.
You know, very tough to do. So let's dive a little bit deeper into that. Tell us a little bit, like, so what's some of the services,
yes.
You know, that you provide people in terms of their mental trauma?
Absolutely. I offer one-on-one coaching because I didn't say that I am a trauma certified life coach.
Okay.
Yeah. So I offer one-on-one coaching. I also offer group coaching. And I also offer programs, and I'm about to open up a platform where everybody can come and feel comfortable, and you'll be around people that, you know, been through what you've been through, in a safe space where everybody can talk. You know, we can even, I'm going to start doing retreats and all of that.
Mm.
Let me ask you this, because this is really the fourth wall. Who looks after you? Who resets you?
Exactly. And like I tell everybody, and I was very... Not long ago when my grandfather passed last year, mm-hmm. I was very transparent on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I have two coaches myself.
Okay.
So, and if it wasn't for them,
okay,
I don't know where I would be. And they puts me in my place just as well. Well, Keith, how are you going to reset someone?
Right.
You have to keep yourself grounded as well.
Right.
And that's when I stopped and pumped the brakes. I was like, you know what? You're right. But thank God for y'all. Because yeah. I give them trouble now.
Yeah.
I don't. I,
yeah.
Because sometimes I could be hard-headed. You know, sometimes we think we know everything. Yeah, women could be a mess. I'm going to just say, yeah. We something else sometimes.
Yeah.
But we good. We mean well. And we're going to take care of you.
Let me say this.
Yes.
So with your educational and experience backgrounds,
mm-hmm.
you converge these. How do you tie that into the technological advancements in AI that we are facing right now?
How I did that is because what I learned, I wanted to also teach it to my people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't gatekeep.
Mm-hmm.
So what I know, I wanted them to know. And as I started growing and learning into AI, into technology, because like I said earlier, I wasn't always into technology. I just came into technology like 6 years ago. But
right.
then when I started seeing all the opportunities in AI, and then with me with leadership,
mm-hmm.
I tied it in and I offer it to my clients as well. You know, I ask them their background, you know, what are they doing? And I use my leadership skills and offer different things to them as well. And I'm going to soon be trying my way to get into bigger organizations and help their HR departments
gotcha.
With psychological safety.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of psychological safety, you know, talk to us a little bit, because when you said, you know, during the pandemic, you were dealing with a lot of trauma and you created Reset, and now you're helping a lot of mm-hmm. other people, right? Tell us, what's some of the issues that people are coming to you about when you're talking about mental health?
Oh gosh, one of the main issues is always at the workplace. You know, when they have bosses that don't understand, they kind of set in their old ways, they don't know how to communicate, they don't know how to make safe spaces for the, say for instance, say the employee to come and talk to them. Because if they feel like if they go to their boss, either they're going to get reprimanded, they're going to look embarrassed, especially the men. I get it a lot from the men. They're going to be embarrassed. They're going to look like a wimp if they go to their boss and tell their boss, like, this is happening at home or this is happening just in my personal life. And the some of the bosses, again, they sit in their old ways, so they don't open up their door and they don't make that safe space for the employees to feel comfortable and say, hey, I need to have a talk with you. Mm-hmm. So as leaders, you know, we need to learn how to ground and make that space and make all of our employees feel comfortable to come to us and be able to talk about anything. It's no such thing as, oh, that's not your business.
Right.
Yes, yes, it is my business, because if you're going through something at home and I can help you, I want to be able to help you. Mm-hmm. You need time off. Don't be afraid to ask because you're going to burn out.
Right.
So you talk about psychological safety, and that's something that I'm familiar with in that regard. But from a workplace perspective, do you find the people that you speak with, is there a racial component to it, or anybody, like, we sometimes are harder on ourselves than other folks is? Because I've been at jobs where it'll be the person that I think I identify with the most that's trying to push me. Don't make us look bad. Don't do this, don't do that. And they're not being really empathetic to what's going on. What is your experience in that regard?
I say it goes both ways.
Okay.
And I'm sorry to say, but 60% of the time, it's the leader. Mm-hmm. The one who leads. Like you said, don't make us look bad. What do you mean make us look bad?
Yeah.
We have to all be safe. We need to be ourselves.
Yeah.
Who you going to look bad to? Your boss?
Yeah.
No. We supposed to be able to come to you. You're supposed to have our backs as our leader, not throw us under the bus. I mean, I understand that everybody has someone to answer to.
Right.
But still, you have to have balls in the industry.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
It reminds me of this. What was that old flick I saw? Deep Cover.
All right.
When my man said, you grew balls, now you have to wear them.
That's right. Because if you are... Or to be nicer, you have to have a spine.
And if
you don't have a spine, you don't need to be a leader.
Mm.
You know, you can't speak up. You don't need a seat at the table.
Mm.
You want to lead a group of individuals.
Mm-hmm.
They want to feel safe, just like as a husband or a spouse. Your wife and your children want to feel safe, right?
Correct.
So it's the same situation under a leader.
Mm.
Your team wants to feel safe.
Let me ask you this, though, because at the end of the day, everything you're saying is 100% correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, if you're working with the who are now your patients or your clients, who are these employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're dealing with a lot of stress. They're taking it home. They're carrying it. They don't know how to release it. However, they're still going back to work with that same leader, okay, that they're still dealing with. So I have two questions. Number one, are you working with companies to help train their leaders in terms of how to provide psychological safety?
That's my next step.
Okay, awesome.
I'm working on it now.
Okay, awesome.
That's actually
because at the end of the day, if you're still going back, right, and you still got to deal with the same person,
right?
However, the second question I had is, what's the remedy? How do you help them? Because the boss ain't changing unless they get some training.
Correct.
So how do you help them relieve or feel better going back into that situation?
After so many sessions and I see that nothing has changed, then that's when I don't like to do that. But that's when I come in with my personal opinion. And I just have to be honest, especially if I've been working with them a while and we gained a great relationship. I have to be honest and tell them, okay, it's somewhere you need to draw the line. It's time to draw the line for your mental, for your safety. I mean, I understand that we all have to work, but now it's time for you to start putting resumes, even if you have to put them on the clock.
Got it.
It's time for you to start seeking around, because that's not good. That's toxic. And you're not doing nothing but hurting yourself, because 9 times out of 10, that boss isn't going anywhere. That leader not going anywhere. You're going to go before your leader does.
Correct.
You were talking about being called for this, and thank the good Lord that you were, because the reality of it is, when you're exposed to someone else's trauma, a level of residue tends to get onto you and it weighs you down over time. You've heard so many bad stories and how the world is at this point in time and so many other things. He and I talk about political things that go on, and it just it makes you feel somewhat defeated, and you have to always overcome. So you always fighting and fighting, it's just exhaustive. Has there been a situation where you felt like, even though you were called for this and this was going the way you thought, I don't know how many more of these I could take? Has there ever been that moment?
Let me tell you. It gets heavy, and I say it all the time.
Okay.
I do. Like, I'm throwing a towel in, but I can't, because this is what I was called to do.
Okay.
I was called to serve.
Okay.
And that's just me. But in the process, I make sure that key is okay. Because my coaches stay on top of me. Like, you're not Superwoman.
Okay.
I know I'm not Superwoman. But that's my people.
Right.
And that's what I was called to do. That's just the heart that I have. So yes, I have to be transparent. It's those days like, it's over. But then I wake up in the morning, I ground myself, say my prayers, give my cough, and I'm like, time for another day. Who's next?
Well, speaking about another day, tell us a little bit about why are you at the HBI with the Icon?
Because, 2026. Again, I'm doing what I love to do, helping others. I'm part of the planning team here. And I just love, and my nephew goes here, I just love the culture. I just love everything about this school. So any opportunity that I have, even if it's just come and visit him, any opportunity that I have to come back here on this campus, I do it.
Follow-up question on that. Yes. You know, one of the things that we've seen that's been happening, and we've had a bunch of people here come in and chat, is that trying to get, you know, African-American people, people of color, very comfortable using AI, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the communication is going to replace you, is going to take this, is going to do that, which is very negative, right?
Yes,
and then
is.
Obviously, because of the different traumas that we've had through centuries,
yes.
right? In terms of opening up and trusting people and then being, you know, used, whatever the case may be, there is a certain fear factor. How are you... Tell us a little bit about how are you trying to make people feel more comfortable and go run towards AI versus running away from it?
Because, as we all know, our people, they feel more comfortable when they see an individual that looks like them. Okay, so all we can do and what I do is keep trying. Keep showing up, do webinars, go do classes at the libraries, do workshops. I'm going to do a summer camp. That's all. Just keep showing up, because they're going to get it. Mm-hmm. They're going to be like... Yeah,
but are they starting to? So when you show up and they come there, are they diving in? Are
they
standing?
Yes,
are they looking back, saying, trying to figure it out first? And or so talk a little bit about that.
How we want to say that? Oh yeah, there's still some in the back in the cut. Mm-hmm. They still, you know, they still looking like. They already said they're gonna take our job.
Right. Does she
really know what she's talking about?
Right.
So yes, they're gonna always be those few. Always, no matter what. But still, what I can give them credit for is they trying.
Right.
Even my elderly, mm-hmm. they want to know too. They want to know how to use AI. Mm-hmm. They still questioning now. They still questioning because you know they're gonna question regardless. They still have those big flip phones, those AAA phones. You know, mm-hmm. they still have those.
Mm-hmm. So, Key, you know, one of the things that we've been talking about is, you know, people of color haven't gravitated or not running to learning AI. They're taking mm-hmm. more of a backseat approach,
yes.
right? And unfortunately, if they don't, you know, engage with it, it's going to create a big disparity in terms of the haves and have-nots, right? So I would love to learn more from how are you trying to get more of our people to engage with a solution that they're going to definitely need to be a part of.
To be honest, one thing I could give our people, they are gravitating to it. Of course, there's still those ones in the back, in the cut. You know, they sitting back, listening, watching, wondering, do she really know what she's talking about? They're going to take our jobs. Do she know what she's talking about?
So they still have that.
Some of them still have that mentality.
They
still have their doubt, but they are showing up. So
okay.
that's the credit we have to give them. They are showing up. In doubt or not, they still showing up. And then, you know, we have these ones that's content creators. They don't know the full extent of AI. You know, they're making content. They're making their digital twins. So they don't really know the full concept of it. But them being curious about that side of it, that's when I sneak in about being responsible and using it ethically. That's mm-hmm. my opportunity right there to slide it in.
Right.
And then that's another like, oh, okay. So there's another side of this. We're supposed to be using this responsibly.
Right.
You know, so, and then again, like I said, even the elderly, you know, they give us the pushback the most because they're still using flip phones mm-hmm. with the big buttons, mm-hmm. you know, from AARP.
Mm-hmm. From AARP.
And I love my elderly. Right. So, but.
But even, they're engaging.
Yes, even them. They're even showing up, like I say, giving courses at the library, doing workshops, probably going to do summer camps this summer. Mm. So I don't care what they say. They're going to hear me out because it's very urgent, very important. And I want them to know. And like I said, some of them still watching, but they showing up. Mm-hmm. So that's the credit we have to give them. They showing up, even if it's halfway. Mm. They showing up.
But with the integration of AI and the way in which you use it, you have certain people that'll use it like a workout program. It'll give you that workout program, but you still
Correct.
Have to do the work. How do you reinforce that it's not just a magic bullet? It's not just going to do stuff for you. You have to build it. You have to work with it, and it's just not take your hands off the wheel and let it do its own thing.
Exactly.
Do you ever get any people that wonder how is it that they can incorporate it to work with them?
Oh, yes, you have the curious thinkers, and I like that because, again, a lot of people come not having any technical experience at all, so this is all just so new to them. It's like some Lego blocks, you know, like magic toys. Or, or when we went to school, I don't know if they still do that. We went to school, we were able to pick out the treasure chest. Okay. If we were good the whole week, we got to pick the, whatever toy we wanted out the treasure chest. Okay. So that's how it's like to most individuals, you know. And they're building, but they also want to learn at the same time. And I push that too. Okay, we building. But you have to be responsible and you have to be safe when you're building as well, because you don't want to just be building slop and want to be building stuff that's not safe for the individual that's using it. So I also reiterate that you have to keep in mind when you're building these tools, who are you building them for? That's right.
So talking
y'all
about
love the curious thinkers.
Absolutely. And that's going to be the key, right? Because the curiosity will drive people to it. And once they start tinkering and playing with it and recognize they'll understand that they're in command.
That's right.
They're in command. Right. It's not AI's going to take over and do. They're the ones that's going to tell it and work with it to help build things. But it won't work unless you don't engage.
Yes.
Right. However, you know, our mission for a Black Executive Perspective podcast, our mission is to make uncomfortable conversations comfortable, right?
That's right.
So the question I'm going to have for you, what uncomfortable conversation still needs to be had, in your opinion, in 2026?
Oh, my opinion, one of the most uncomfortable conversations that needs to be had is when we're speaking on DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. Mm-hmm. They just seem to just want to just keep pushing that under the rug and just throwing out all that miscommunication about DEI.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we still need to stay on top of and don't let it go in the dark.
And like in like what way? In what way you think we still need to be saying about DEI?
The most that we can do is still keep pushing it out there, still keep showing up and speaking on it. Because if you let it just stay dormant, then what happens if you let something stay dormant and let it go to sleep?
Mm.
It's gonna sleep, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we just have to stay talking about it. Keep it in the forefront.
Well, guess what? We're glad that you came and talked about it today and
thank
kept
you.
It in the forefront. So we want to thank you for appearing on the Black Executive Perspective podcast and sharing your perspective.
Yes.
All right. And we look forward to hanging out with you a little later on.
Anytime.
Key is the key.
Key is the key, right? And we want to thank you for watching another session of a Black Executive Perspective podcast right here at Houston Tillerson University here in Austin, Texas. Don't forget to continue to check us out. For my co-host with the most, Chris P. Reed, I'm Tony Tidbit. We talked about it. We learned about it. We reset about it.
Yes.
We love you. And guess what? We're out.
A Black Executive Perspective.